Hello, everyone. This is Noah Villaverde, host of Blank Green Canvas, back again. And this week, I am once again joined by my good friend in New York,
John Maffio. Also, you might know me as Mothman Jones.
Yes, indeed. That is Mothman Jones right there. And before we get into our discussion on episodes 4 and 5 of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I just got to ask, John, how have you been lately?
Been okay. Been working, been relaxing. It's been a couple of nice days. So I've been trying to get some exercise in, walk around, get the fitness on, and it's kicking my ass, but it's been okay. But yes, I'm glad we're finally turning the tide weather-wise here on the East Coast. How have you been?
I have been doing well myself. Funny enough, you just mentioned that. I just got back from the gym. You know, sometimes you go to the gym and then you accidentally, like, you have a really big injury, so you have to kind of take a break exercising a certain area. I had that with my chest. You know, but thankfully I got back to doing some push exercises today, but obviously I had to be careful.
Yeah, you don't want to further strain it.
Yeah, thankfully it's been healed since then and I'm getting slowly back into it. You know, funny story, my dad actually bought a Breville machine, you know, a Breville espresso machine. So I've just been trying to make some lattes for myself and trying to enjoy it.
Aww.
Failing hard with a latte art, you know, failing really hard. So I'm just making flat whites essentially. Like, I don't know if you can see it on the screen for those watching. As much as I can, it's you can't really
it's
see
it. It's tough,
much,
but yeah.
Yeah, because of the way it works out. You know? But yeah, like, I've been able to go to the theater again. I went to the theater twice in the last 2 weeks. I went to go see Chaos Walking, which I thought was fine, I guess.
It's a movie that exists.
Yeah, it was more competently made than I thought. You know, it's definitely a movie that feels like it was 6 years too late. You know, it should have come out like 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to go see Nobody also, which I really liked.
Yeah, it's a really fun one.
Yeah, I'm starting the supporting actor campaign for Christopher Lloyd next year.
Oh, sure.
Right now.
Get the buzz popping.
Yeah, it's a really entertaining movie. Away.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really entertaining movie. It's from the same producers of John Wick, and there's been like a lot of fun talk saying, oh, they should cross over, and honestly I'd love to see that. That'd be fun.
I wouldn't even mind just like he goes to the Continental and he's there, maybe getting a contract going or something stupid, like a 5 second cameo.
Yeah, definitely. That'd be fun. But yeah, it's been great going back to the movies again, you know, and I'm actually going to go to the movies again later tonight. I'm doing some big Oscar season catch up because this is the most behind I've been in years when it comes to Oscar season, you know, so I'm finally seeing Nomadland. I know I could have seen it already because it's on Hulu, but it's playing in theaters and I feel like, okay, I could finally go watch it in theaters, you know.
You might as well. There's a lot of great cinematography in that movie that needs to be seen on a big screen, which I have not had the pleasure of doing yet. But it's worth seeing in theaters, I think, for the visuals alone.
Definitely, yeah. So I'm going to catch up with that. I got a Redbox DVD of Promising Young Woman, which I have to see finally. It's been, like I said, I've been way behind on a lot of movies. So I'm catching up on some of the Best Picture films I haven't seen yet, some of the other nominees for like the acting categories and whatnot. I'm looking forward to do so before Sunday, obviously. And, you know, before we talk about The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the last two episodes before the finale, which is crazy to think about, right?
Yeah.
We're already getting close.
Just flying.
Let's talk about something that Marvel dropped this week, you know, as they continue to expand their universe.
Sure.
Just for a little bit. So earlier this week, Simu Liu, who is playing Shang-Chi, and who many people may know as one of the stars from Kim's Convenience, he shared a poster first, like as a fun birthday gift to his fans. Hey, it's like, and he said, hey, the first trailer is going to be out in a few weeks from now. And then Marvel surprised him and the rest of the world saying, happy birthday, Simu. Here's your special gift. And they dropped the first trailer for Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. And I don't know about you yet, but I got to say, I'm pretty stoked for this movie.
Like, I'm not a lot stoked, but it does. I'm glad to see a project that I know nothing about. And I'm just excited to see where it goes, to be honest.
Nice. Yeah, like I thought, like it, for one, you know, like it's a fun thing for me, you know, because I like seeing, you know, this story come to life. I have some familiarity with the Shang-Chi comics. He's the master of Kung Fu. And they made some changes here, obviously, because his father in the comics is literally called Fu Manchu, whom Marvel doesn't have the rights to, and also is very problematic and stereotypical. Yeah, so they changed,
you say that.
Changed it up. Yeah, they changed it up and updated it to the Mandarin, Wenwu, whom we saw a fake version of in Iron Man 3, played by Ben Kingsley. And the great Tony Leung is playing him, and he looks great, for one. And it's, I really like, for one, I think what stands out to me the most from this trailer is like the fight choreography, like by far. Like it really looks.
I'm getting like some really real Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon type of visuals from what the little glimpses that we saw.
Definitely, you know, and. You know, like as a Filipino American myself, like seeing an Asian story told on this big of a scale from Marvel is really exciting to me. And at the same time, there's a lot of fun jokes out there and how it just really feels accurate. Because for one, you see Simu Liu and Awkwafina, they're doing a drunk karaoke together. And if you look at the screen, they're actually singing A Whole New World in the in the trailer. And other fun things, like some have joked, wow, they really have nailed it accurately. It's about in a young Asian American man, or so whatever Asian he is, dealing with the high expectations of his father, you know. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, it's, I mean, that's a universal theme, you know, like living up to your parents' expectations, but especially for, you know, Asians, it's really right. It really hits home. You know, and I gotta give Simu Liu props in regards to, it looks like he'd really trained in kung fu and learning more about martial arts for this one, because unlike a lot of other superheroes that wear masks, obviously, Shang-Chi doesn't wear a mask, and you have to see his face the whole time. So far, he seems to be really killing it, martial arts-wise, and I don't know, like, I'm really looking forward to this one. It was also fun, like, I felt like the last part of the trailer was, like, a nice nod to Speed.
That's exactly what I was thinking the whole time it was happening, too. Yeah.
Yeah, instead, you know, it looks like a lot of fun. I like Destin Cretton as a director. You know, the films that he's done.
Short Term 12,
which seems to have created, like, it's like an Oscar nominee prediction magnet from that film. It's a wonderful little film with Brie Larson, Rami Malek, and Lakeith Stanfield, among many other great up and coming actors. John Gallagher Jr., Caitlin Dever, right? She was in that.
She was
one of her first films. Yeah, she's wonderful in it. And like, he's a really, really solid director. And I think he brings a lot of humanity to his films. Mm-hmm. And I'm hopeful that he does the same thing with Shang-Chi, obviously. But let's move on finally to the last two episodes of The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which had a lot, to say the least.
And I'll say, like I've mentioned in previous podcasts, that I haven't been like super crazy about what's been going on in the show, but the last two episodes have been ramping up my engagement and my interest in the whole plot. And I'm not like, I don't love it, but like, at least I'm like, oh my God, now at least I really care what's happening. And there has been some really interesting turns
and absolutely
moves, to say the least.
So let's start off
blood, but yeah.
Oh yeah. Let's start off with The Whole World is Watching, which was episode 4. And when we left off, Bucky is reunited with Ayo, one of the Dora Milaje from Wakanda. And we see a flashback of Bucky in Wakanda as he's still trying to deal with, obviously, like him being the Winter Soldier and dealing with all that drama. And I got to say, in that opening scene, Sebastian Stan kills it.
Oh, he's doing some great facial acting.
Yeah, really great.
Really sells it.
Yes, indeed. And through that, we continue on with this whole journey that Sam and Bucky are going on with Zemo, which is a fun dynamic, to say the least. And, you know, like Zemo is trying to help out Morgenthau at the funeral of her adoptive mom, you know. And then all of a sudden, you know, John Walker and his buddy Lamar Hoskins are there and they try to intercept him. And let's just say, as they finally encounter with Sam and Bucky once again, tensions are really boiling between John and them. Like, you feel it.
Yeah, you could tell there's a lot of clashes of what they believe is right ideologies. And it, even though it's like, yeah, you have like the Sam and Bucky, and they're like kind of like the anti-Sam and Bucky in a sense that they're doing it a different way.
Yeah, to a certain degree, definitely, especially in the case of John. You know, and so they butt heads, but obviously Sam decides that he wants to de-escalate the situation with Carly Morgenthau and wants to talk with her alone about the whole situation, trying to find a way to empathize with her in a way to end the violence that the Flag Smashers are bringing upon.
Mm-hmm. I think I just like Anthony Mackie as an actor, but I think a lot of like really great like heart-to-heart moments happen in this episode between him and the actress who plays Carly. I just like seeing him interact. It's like he seems like a cool dude to sit down and like have a beer with, but you really feel him trying to connect with this person in these moments. Like, you know, he really, you feel like he genuinely like cares about this person. Like, listen, I know what you're trying to do, but this isn't the way to go about this. And unfortunately, can't be resolved that way.
Unfortunately not, because that's just not how it works out in the MCU from what it looks like. No matter how good your intentions may be, something always has to come up, whether unintended or not. And, you know, it seemed like the nice moment between the two, even though, like, we know something is about to come up. And, you know, like, as they continue through, Zemo ends up destroying most of the serum that has been, like, at the center of the whole conflict, you know, when he is apprehended by John Walker eventually, you know. And interestingly enough, John Walker ends up stealing one of the last vials of the serum and pockets it, you know, without anyone knowing yet. And let's just say that after all that happens, the tension starts building up and we know something is certainly going to come up in regards to John, which we'll get into. But then suddenly Ayo and other Dora Milaje from Wakanda come in for Zemo, because obviously because of Zemo, their former king T'Chaka was murdered. And they certainly want to bring justice for him.
And to have Zemo walking around on the streets isn't exactly a way to keep the Wakandans happy.
Definitely not.
I wouldn't be happy. I wouldn't want him walking around either.
Of course not. And once they come in, John Walker is a little too cocky for his own good, thinking that he has a handle on the whole situation and thinking that he could really stop the Dora Milaje from bringing things down and really bringing it on in terms of the action and the tension. And let's just say he has his ass handed to him and he has to have a slice of humble pie.
Exactly. I was about to say humble pie too. And Sam and Bucky are having a real good time eating popcorn, watching this all go down. Even yes, commenting indeed. Too.
Yeah, they were commentating through it all.
Nice one.
Yeah, so like, unfortunately, as the Dora Milaje is fighting them down, Zemo obviously escapes, much to their chagrin. And then Morgenthau ends up, she ends up talking to Sarah, Sam's sister, threatening her. You know, threatening her and her two sons. And obviously that just makes this whole scenario a lot more personal for Sam. You know, and oh boy, does this episode get really brutal once things come up.
Yes, they do.
Unfortunately, because as tensions go higher, John Walker's best friend, Lamar Hoskins, well, beforehand, they were talking about, like, what if they were given the serum? And Lamar said he would definitely take it if given the opportunity. And unbeknownst to him, John Walker himself has a vial in his pocket. And it's looking pretty likely that he took it himself. We didn't see it, if I recall. Like,
it's totally implied that he took it.
He definitely
the way he's throwing people around, like it.
This is the first time he actually basically turns into a super soldier. And then, unfortunately, as they're battling with the Flag Smashers, a victim comes up, and it's Lamar, his buddy,
which gets hit against a pillar a little too hard for a regular human's taste.
Yes, indeed. And unfortunately for Lamar, he bites it, and John is pissed.
Yeah, your best friend just got murdered by the person you've been trying to neutralize this entire time. This is like Iron Man seeing his parents die kind of situation. Where, like, I don't give a shit what's logical. You you killed somebody who I like, and I like, this person's close to me. Bitch, gonna die.
So Morgenthau is on the run, and as angry as John gets, he uses his shield in perhaps the most violent event that the MCU has ever had, besides maybe Thor beheading Thanos. This one feels even more real because instead of a demigod cutting off the head of this alien figure, we have two humans involved, albeit one of them has super soldier serum and the other does too, but still, like, it leads to one of the most, I mean, I'll admit this, John, I had this moment spoiled for me because I saw screenshots everywhere, and even though I didn't have the exact moment on clip shown, the amount of screenshots I've seen of John Walker holding the shield and that expression he has.
It was either that or it was the final frame.
With the final frame.
Like fully, and not even cropped or nothing.
Yeah, even though I knew the imagery that was involved, it still didn't remove the impact of the scene itself for me.
Right. I think if the other guy would have gotten ahead a few more steps earlier, maybe he would have survived. I was trying to make a head pun. Sorry for that guy.
Yeah, John straight up kills him. And not only does he kill him, he kills him brutally. Like, he brutally kills him. All the people around him, they have their phones out filming it as he takes his revenge on one of the Flag Smashers. And this
guy was a Captain America fan too. When I was younger, I used to be a fan of that guy.
Oh,
and now you're being killed by that guy.
That is irony. What is, I was left, I mean, like I said, I kind of knew what was coming, because I, even though it was out of context, I had, mm-hmm. I couldn't help but put the pieces together. And I gotta say, I know, John Walker obviously is an interesting antagonist. I gotta give credit to Wyatt Russell. He's really killing it.
Mm-hmm.
He has a certain charisma, but also a deceptive kind of, he has a deceptive charm if you didn't really know what his ulterior motives were, you know. And then when he comes in and gives in to his worst impulses here, you know, he kills it. And even with those screenshots I've seen where it kind of looks goofy a little bit, it actually makes it all the more kind of dark, you know, because mm-hmm. it makes it just, especially in the context of the past characters in the MCU, especially in comparison to Steve Rogers. Steve Rogers definitely, he's a difference. Soldier. He had to bring people down. But here, the level of brutality that John Walker brings.
I mean, it's the, people have mentioned it before, but it's like what Stanley Tucci said in the original movie. It makes good people better and it makes bad people worse. Or something like that. I'm paraphrasing now.
Yeah. And that final image of John Walker holding the shield with all the blood on it. What a powerful mm-hmm. image to end the episode on.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And you could pull a lot of real historical context to that image, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Which is nice to see in a Marvel project that you can actually do something like that and have it relate to politics.
Especially in the next episode where right off the bat we see John's on the run because he realized how much he screwed up,
mm-hmm.
you know, and for a little moment, just a little bit, in my case at least, I kind of felt a little bit for him because he let his worst impulses come through. But then obviously that went away when Sam and Bucky had to confront him and you know, John just couldn't help himself. He feels entitled to the shield because of what he was given to him.
Mm-hmm.
He was bestowed upon it by the US government, and it leads to a really great fight between him, Sam, and Bucky.
Yeah, very well done choreography. A lot of pain, a lot of suffering in that. And it's a pretty brutal fight. Wings get torn off. Bucky's punching with his human hand because the metal hand's just not getting it done. It felt very raw.
When he shattered the wings and everything else, I was just blown away by that moment. And just how, John knows he's done. John knows he's over. His career is basically over as Captain America, mm-hmm. and his standing with the rest of the world and his own country is going to turn against him. And just how much he's just willing to keep that title, even though he knows it's out of his hands, just
goes to show his pettiness. Very cowardly, too.
Very cowardly, you know. And it's like, look, I get it. Your best you lost your best friend, and you lost your best friend to like the threat that you're trying to defeat. But man, that level of brutality, it just goes to show how violence begets violence. Mm-hmm. And he faces his consequences, thankfully. And it leads to another interesting discussion in regards to how the U.S. government kind of used him just kind of as their own example and as their own symbol, and how I think it's safe to say John Walker definitely experienced a lot of trauma when he was serving for America, you know, sure. and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And how in some ways it's like you could almost kind of see it as a commentary on how the government uses our troops and puts them through the ringer, and how once they lose their use that they want from them, they just kind of discard them or use mm-hmm. them in the ways they want. And when bad things go wrong, you know, like they try to evade all culpability they may have in that, mm-hmm. you know, which leads to another interesting moment where John Walker is with his wife. And then all of a sudden a new character pops up, a surprising cameo from a surprising actress, to say the least.
Yeah, Elaine from Seinfeld took a career change. Very weird career change for that. She got, I mean, good for her. I'm glad she found something that she can pursue.
Yeah, so I'm going to look up her character's name once again, because I'll be upfront. I don't really know much about this character in the comics, but I learned more about her researching it.
She seems like a Hydra version of Nick Fury.
Oh, yeah, So John Walker, through the court, he received an other than honorable discharge from the country, from the government, and he's stripped of his title as Captain America. And Julie Louise Dreyfus, she plays Valentina Allegra de Fontaine, and she gives him a business card telling him that there's ways that he could still be useful. And it looks like it's going to bring up like an interesting kind of Cold War in a way element to the story.
It seems like something that they're pushing for either a second season, or it's going to be another Disney Plus show that they throw in the mix.
Yeah. So through this, Sam leaves his wingsuit with his buddy Torres, and then he ends up visiting Bradley, who we saw earlier in a few episodes back, who was the first Black super soldier that the world doesn't know of. And we have a heartbreaking scene.
Yeah, this is where I was continually surprised by how sharp the writing was and how contextually relevant it was to like what's going on right now in our country. And like, I could have seen this easily being cringy. I could have seen the show easily like, because it's a fine line.
A little too on the nose, yeah.
Yeah, but I think like between the acting and I think like Derek Kolstad, the way he writes these characters, I think it really works. And I feel like this is important to kids who are probably watching this, or they're not fully understanding the situation, but they're walking that tightrope just right, I think.
And the actor's name is Carl Lumbly, who plays Isaiah Bradley. And the way he confesses why he has so much heartbreak and bitterness, he lost his wife. He was never even told about his wife when he was in jail for 30 years. And how the government took advantage of him and didn't give him the chance to actually have a life after all that happened. Mm-hmm. He was stripped of his life. And obviously it pays context into the racial history of America. And I felt like it did it in a way where it wasn't like, oh, we're going to teach you about like racial history in America through this and all that. You know, they found a way to do it in a way that feels natural and feels right for the characters.
Yeah.
You know, because you could, some shows or some movies try to coast on their the social message that you're trying to do. And even if it's a good message, you need to find a way to do it in a way where it feels natural and right for the characters. And I feel like they really did it well here, especially because of Carl Lumley's performance when he's talking to Sam. You feel the heartbreak in his delivery. And
absolutely. You hear the cracks in his voice. And it also, in context, relates to Sam Wilson as a character too, directly. Like these, the words he's saying to Sam directly like impact mm-hmm. what's happening in his story. So that's what, like you're saying, how it feels natural because it all plays into everything.
Yeah, Sam acknowledges like his own experiences as a Black man in America, but he also is wondering why Isaiah Bradley has such a deep bitterness and a deep sadness about it, and he gets it. He definitely gets it, and he uses it as an inspiration to finally take up the shield and hopefully the mantle, you know. And so he goes back to his sister and the boat and everything else, as we saw earlier on in the season, you know, and how they're trying to fix it up. And interestingly enough, meanwhile, Bucky is off and he's trying to confront Zemo once again. And Zemo even offers him the chance to finally take justice into his own hands and take him out, basically. Mm-hmm. But Bucky is better than that.
Yeah, he's a changed man. He's no longer the Winter Soldier, so he just hands him over to the Dormilaje.
Yes, he does.
That's it. That's, for now, it's sayonara. Until another time.
For now. I wouldn't be surprised if that Wakanda show that Ryan Coogler is supposedly developing brings this part up again.
I mean, if you're in Wakanda and that's where he's going, then chances are he's showing up there at one point or another. Even if it's just like in a jail cell for like a scene.
Oh, yeah. And so Bucky ends up asking the Dora Milaje to do a favor for him and for Sam, as it turns out, as he comes to visit Sam and his family as they're fixing up the boat with a gift for Sam.
Mm-hmm. I wonder what that gift is. I almost feel like if you looked up something on Google, you might know.
And just by the implication, based on what the gift is probably going to be based on the episode, you probably guessed right. Given that the Wakandans helped Bucky out with his arm, it's safe to say that they would only help out Sam with his wings.
And maybe nice. They gave him a nice, awesome little costume too.
Yes, indeed.
Patriotic looking costume, maybe.
Yes. So Bucky and Sam, like, they're working together on the boat, you know, and there's some really funny exchanges between Bucky and Sam's sister, you know, and it just kind of,
you know, obviously stop flirting with my sister.
Yeah, I love those little moments. Yeah, like,
yeah, it's cute.
Those adorable little moments between like both Bucky and Sam in regards to their, you know, like, they don't like each other, but, you know, it's like they have to deal with each other because they both lost their best friend, and they both have a really interesting talk when they're training with the shield.
Mm-hmm. Another candid conversation that relates it, I feel like, in the context of the show, works really well. And it's just nice to see these larger than life characters just like have a nice, like, not a nice, but like a conversation that feels like a conversation two people, like a white and a black person, would have in a situation.
Yeah,
like
especially
this.
In those positions. Yeah, like in the positions that they have as Avengers, and given the weight that Sam has now, having to finally take up the mantle, from what it looks like. I am so excited to see how he uses the shield, for one, because obviously he's not a super soldier, you know, but he's really great with those wings, but he's still learning how to wield that shield the way that would make Steve proud. Mm-hmm. And he's slowly but surely getting there. I love that moment with his nephews with the shield, you know, just because obviously his nephews were probably big fans of Steve.
Oh, yeah, you know? Sure.
Mm-hmm. And imagine, like, my uncle is Captain America. Like, it's those little things where it's like that sense of pride that you may have in someone you love taking that mantle from a hero you definitely looked up to, you know? And then, you know, so, like, the Flag Smashers elsewhere, like, they're planning an attack on the GRC conference in New York City, and they are joined by a returning character from the MCU.
Batroc.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, and I guess they're going to have another confrontation. GSP.
Reunited with GSP, George St. Pierre, and it's going to be looking like a really exciting battle coming up now that he's involved. Sure.
I can already predict the choreography with, like, the wings and the shield if he's in the air, like, bouncing it off.
Oh, man, that's going to be cool, you know. Mm-hmm. And then some may have missed it. Like, I know my dad missed it, and I told him, oh, there's this scene in the middle of the credits.
I didn't see this either. I had to go back and watch it because, like, I went on Twitter after, and I was like, there's something else.
Yeah, that's the thing with, like, the Disney Plus shows for Marvel is that sometimes the credits, they have the whole, like, they skip through. I guess you just kind of have to sit through unless they have that little notification on the corner of the screen.
Yeah.
But it happened, and then we see that John Walker is crafting his own crappy-ass shield.
It reminds me of what's his face? I want my boot in Iron Man 2 in the opening sequence where he's building his his things, his whips.
I'm curious to see how he's factored into this big battle, because it's safe to say that he's definitely going to have to confront Sam again.
I guess, yeah. And but he has nowhere to really go now. He's been discharged, and now he's like a man with no purpose. But I guess a man with no purpose would be an unhinged individual who's just now out for revenge, I guess.
Oh, and we forgot to mention there was that one scene that he had with Lamar's parents. And I think that was his sister.
That was a good scene.
It's one of those things where it also makes you could tell that he definitely feels horrible, you know, about
the guilt on his conscience
guilt. Mainly about his best friend dying. He still definitely has a lot of bitterness and anger in regards to what happened to him, which makes him, you know, really problematic, obviously, but also brings it down to earth.
Yeah, but the whole thing with the parents even being like, he looked up to you so much, like he would follow you anywhere, like he idolized you as a friend. Like, it makes you feel like worse, because he followed him into his own demise, pretty much.
Yep,
because he was that tight.
And he would have been and it's also the implications, like he would have been ashamed to see what he tried to do, what he thought. Because John obviously thought he was honoring his best friend's memory with his revenge, but obviously no.
He wouldn't have heard of that. No,
definitely not. You know, and that's that episode. And I gotta say, like, I'm with you. Like, I've been liking the show so far, but these last two episodes were really, really good. Like, really stand out.
They're honing in on what I think is important about a show like this, where it deals with politics in America right now, but it also is a action lethal weapon type romp with these two characters who we know have this sort of like love hate camaraderie, so to speak.
And the great thing about these shows, like we said, is that these are characters that were supporting characters to other of the main heroes that were the headliners. Like WandaVision was Wanda and Vision, obviously, and they never had their own story. They were just kind of supporting characters in the ensemble of the rest of the Avengers, and they found a way to make. That's what I'm liking about these shows, is that even if I might love some movies more than the shows, or even like this more than other things, it's that they're finding a way to make these characters just as interesting as the main protagonists that we followed.
Sure.
If not more interesting in some cases, you know, because we're finally getting to, we didn't really know Sam, you know, before the show.
Really. Like
we only knew that he was what he did, you know, from Winter Soldier and on. You know, we knew that he served for his country, and we knew that he had cool wings, but we didn't really know his background.
Yeah, he didn't really have like a little personality.
And we knew a little bit about Bucky, but we always wondered what is his life going to be like now that his best friend's out of the picture and he has no family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's definitely cool. Like I'm happy to see that these characters are getting a chance to grow in a way that makes them potentially just as iconic as their friends that we've seen.
Everything's part of the Disney machine right now, but it seems like the Marvel is putting these shows to good use, and they're really actually doing some great character work right now. And
that's the best thing I could give these shows. They're making these characters even more rich and making them more interesting. And I can't wait to not just see more of them on the small screen, but they're going to be on the big screen too, obviously, again.
Oh, I'm sure.
And
they inevitably,
whenever, I don't think Avengers 5 won't happen until another 6 or 7 years, probably. I think they're going to really build it up if they do it on the big screen again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because Endgame felt like such a conclusive installment. You need to get people to like really want to get to watch another Avengers, you have to really get people invested again. And I don't know how they plan on doing that exactly, on how they create this threat that's going to make this next movie possible.
Especially the synergy between with the synergy between a movie and a TV shows all at the same time. I am so curious to see how they bring that all together on the big screen, because obviously this is the biggest franchise in the world right now. People are excited about it. They want to see more, you know, and they can get away with these kinds of things, you know. And I'm really stoked for what the finale is going to be. Do you have any last predictions before we wrap up?
I was just going to make, not to deflect from, because we're talking about how these supporting characters are becoming main characters, but like, I don't know why, but like, I wonder if we're going to see Steve, because they keep mentioning Steve was, Steve's gone, this, that. And I'm like, is he dead? Or like, what happened to him? We never saw him die. So like, I wonder if we see, I don't know, some kind of acknowledgement of his existence just hanging somewhere in a retirement home, or if he's actually dead.
Like, I don't think Steve's dead.
He's just,
I don't think he's dead.
Yeah. Well, like, because they talk about him, like, they talk about him like he's gone, and I'm like, but he's not. So that's just me. But I wonder if we see, what's his face, Chris Evans again.
Yeah, Chris
Evans. I don't think we are, but
I'm with you. I don't think we're going to see him, but I think he'll be alluded to. You know, maybe like they have a message, they received an email from him or something. And also, I think this is unlike WandaVision, which is just going to be a mini series. I think this will have like another season.
I could see another season happening too. Yeah. I think it's going to be pretty conclusive though. I feel like it's just going to resolve the tension with John Walker. I think the Flag Smash situation is probably going to they're going to find a way to like maybe not amend, but at least get Carly on like a similar page as Sam and Bucky. And maybe we get like a stinger with Elaine from with Julia Louis Dreyfus.
Yeah,
that's going to be our stinger, and that's probably what's going to happen.
Setting up that like a, I wouldn't be surprised if John Walker is the first piece of like they're trying to assemble basically a new team that would go against the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably have really interesting.
It'd be like him, Batroc. I'm trying to think of like who. I can't think of anybody right now, but. Yeah, alluding to
maybe they'll set it up in other shows. Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but so that was the last two episodes of Falcon Winter Soldier before the finale, which is insane to think about. It's already this close to concluding for the first season. You know, but we're enjoying it overall, and we are really impressed with these last two episodes, especially in regards to the themes it explores, the use of John Walker, and how he's definitely one of the most interesting characters we've seen in a long time. In this franchise, you know. So anyways, John, thanks again for joining me on this discussion.
Oh, no problem. Again, thank you for inviting me on. It's always fun. And I just think it's blown my mind how time's flying. We were talking about WandaVision. Like it felt like yesterday. Then it was January. Now we're in April.
Well, yeah.
The concept of time lately has been screwing me because there's so much Marvel content. But always fun talking with you about this stuff. And I'm looking forward to talking about the finale, inevitably.
I can't, coming up. Yeah, I'm really excited about that finale. And also, where can people find you?
So anybody could find me on any social media platform and on YouTube at Mothman Jones. And I'm going to do a video about, because I've been itching to talk about the whole Spider-Man situation. Because they're not.
Oh, yeah.
They won't just spill the memes. So I want to talk quick, about
I wanted to hear your thoughts. I wanted to hear your thoughts on, let's just say, Alfred Molina maybe revealed a little too much
about his role. The Marvel snipers definitely have him in jail right now. Because just literally just comes out and says, like, yeah, you know, I'm out there and I'm fighting. I make mean faces in the movie. And like, yeah, okay. So.
I think the biggest part is the fact that he mentioned de-aging. And I'm like, oh.
That, and also it picks up where it left off from Spider-Man 2.
Quite literally, you know, that movie could end up either being a hot mess or the greatest, fan service ever made, but
I don't know.
I feel like it's gonna be, yeah, it's like it could obviously be a messy movie given like what it may end up being, but at the same time, I'd be lying to say if I wouldn't be freaking out with the fan service.
I'm at this point, I feel like if it's gonna be a hot mess, I'm just gonna enjoy seeing characters I grew up with being on screen again and fighting
that. And also, I think at this point, if they don't reveal at them in the, do you think they're gonna appear in the first trailer if their roles are a little.
Yes.
At this point.
Because how do you sell, if the movie's about them, how do you sell it and not show them? Unless you like say, you put like a voiceover, some kind of dialogue, you hear Andrew and you hear Toby and you hear Alfred Molina or Eddie's character and you don't see them. I don't know. Maybe
do you think that's like going to be the big like trailer stinger, if you will? Like
I think
the final,
it's going to be like in Civil War where like the ending sting was with him catching the shield. And like, hey everyone. I think it's going to be like a, yeah, we're going to see them in like the last shot of the movie, of the trailer. Because that's what's going to get people to go like, oh. That's
how
you get
people
to flip.
It's gonna, it'll be like Tom going like, what? And then we just have a quick moment of like Toby and Andrew just kind of like out of context. Just like,
where are we? Yeah, like some shit like that.
Yeah, like it could be a hot mess of a movie, but I'd be lying if I'd be screaming in that theater.
This movie's gonna make $3 billion if it is what we think it is.
And I want to be in
Oh
a,
my
like, for a
gosh.
lot of these movies, I want to be in a packed crowd, sold out, you know, all that kind of thing.
Ooh.
That's the kind of thing, you know,
This
but.
is gonna be like Endgame again, where it's gonna be, you're gonna have people who grew up with these characters like me and you, and it's gonna be
Oh, yeah.
insane.
I'm gonna cry the moment, because let's be real, they're in it. They're in it. Like, stop screwing with us. We know
It's
they're
too
in it.
obvious. It's
And
yeah.
I'm gonna cry
Sony, if
once
you
Toby's on
watch.
screen.
Even if he's phoning
Yeah.
it in, I'm just gonna be happy to I'll just be happy to see
Yeah.
him again.
Well, once again, thanks, John, for joining. And so people can find you obviously through Mothman Jones movie reviews on YouTube. Also, they could find you on your social media throughout. And they could find me on this channel, Blank Green Canvas, also through the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, among many other platforms. And on Facebook, you can find me on Blank Green Canvas there as well. So until next time, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back again with you to discuss the finale of the first season.
This has been a lot of fun. Can't wait to talk about that.
Yes, indeed. Falcon and Winter Soldier season finale coming right up very, very soon. So thanks
Oh,
for
yeah.
listening, and we'll be back with you again very soon. Take care.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.